did the swamp tour day before yesterday, and I learned something. If you fall over in the swamp, in the bayou, grab someone that swims slower than you to go with you. Y'all figure that one out? Alligators will get him first. That's the... Anyway, I am so pleased to be here. I want us to look at a parable. This is not the first time you've seen it. I promise that you've probably heard more messages on it than you care to endure. But we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 13. And I want us to relook or look again at the parable of the sower. And I don't think I'll do too much damage to the passage before it's all over, okay? And I promise if you finish before I do, just hang in there and we can all walk out together, all right? Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Father, we lift up you, your word, this time together, and that by your Holy Spirit you would continue to speak. Thank you for the time of worship and the voice of you that we heard through the songs. And God, help us to continue to hear your voice today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds were gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat in it while all the people stood at the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow the seed and was gathering, and while he was gathering seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's hop down now to verse 18 and listen to what Jesus gives us as the interpretation of the parable. Listen then to the parable of the sower, what it means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what he has sown in his heart, or what was sown in his heart. This was the seed sown among the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, it lasts for only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling on the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it, and this is the one that produces a crop yielding 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. This, when we get to chapter 13, just for a little bit of context in Matthew, this is about halfway through Jesus' life and his ministry. And he's trying to explain to the disciples, it's a little clearer when you get the little section we didn't read in 10 through 18, that he's trying to explain to the 12, not everybody is going to understand what I'm talking about. And really, they won't know who I am and why I'm here. If the truth were told, they didn't know who he was and why he was there. But he had selected these 12, and he's giving them this explanation. Not everybody's going to get it. And the way he chooses to explain it is through this parable. Now, listen to a key word I'm going to repeat, starting verse 19. When anyone hears, skip down to 20. Hears, verse 22. Someone who hears, verse 23. Someone who hears. That's more than just an organizational pattern for poetry, okay? Or alliteration for a sermon. I really think that the whole parable are types of listeners more than whether they're lost or saved. That's a possible interpretation, but I really think it's more over and over again, he's talking to the kind of hearers, and he uses the hearer as a kind of soil, all right? If we can kind of put that on the back burner and let it simmer a little bit, I think it's going to make a little more sense. There are four kinds of responses Jesus said that the people that listen to him are going to have. Here are the four kinds of responses, and it's because how they hear. The first, in verse 4, they're scattering seeds. Some it falls upon the path, the birds eat it up. Later on, Jesus says in verse 19, this is the message that they hear it, but Satan comes and what? Snatches it away before it has a chance to do anything. This is the seed or the word sown on the path. The hearer is a distracted hearer. It doesn't take much to distract him. I don't know, several years ago there was a movie called Up. I don't know if y'all remember Up. But this this dog had a collar on it, all right? And the collar translated dog talk into human speech. Fortunately, English, okay? I don't know if it would do it in Spanish, but we'll see. And the dog is talking to the little boy, and all of a sudden he says, squirrel, and it takes off and just, he's distracted. I don't know if you've come across people that you're talking and I mean, they're looking at you 1 minute, but they're looking here, they're looking there. You ever get the feeling that they're just a little distracted? Yeah, well, I really think some of the crowds that were around Jesus were distracted. They were distracted to see the miracles more than the message. They saw the miracles and they missed the message. They wanted to see, they wanted the bread, on top of the ground, and they never did put down deep roots. There was a huge tree like that. The base of it was close to 3 feet in diameter across the street from the church at Parkview. When it blew over, the root system that came up was about 6 or 8 feet tall, and it only went about a foot and a half deep. No roots. No roots. Jesus explains in verse 20, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word. They're a rocky listener. They receive it with joy, but since it has no root, it lasts for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, it quickly falls away. The word for fall away here is interesting. It literally means offended. Ooh. It's the same word we get scandalized from. You ever known of someone that they hear something from the pulpit because of the word and they get offended? That's pretty strong. At first, things they receive it with joy. They start out good, but something happens. They get offended and poof, they're gone. In John 6, when Jesus was relating the story, says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't be my disciples. Scripture says after that, many were offended and left. Jesus turned around to the 12 and said, are you going to leave too? And Peter answered, no, Lord, only you have the words of eternal life. The majority, just like we talked about earlier, the majority got offended and just left. They were rocky listeners. Another is Demas. Early in Paul's ministry, he called him a fellow worker. But in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, toward the end of, this is Paul, right before Paul is killed. He's writing back to Timothy and he says, come quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. He was a rocky listener. He was a rocky listener. The third group says the other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plant. Then Jesus explained to his disciples, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. The worries of this life, people that are, these listeners are controlled by fear. Fear of what could happen, fear of what might not happen, fear of failure, fear of what other people think, fear of the unknown, fear of the dark, literally. I read water meters for two different summers before college, and I wasn't really afraid of dogs until then. When my own dog tried to bite me because I had a water meter key to my, you know, the fear of. Scripture says we don't live by fear, we live by faith. The rocky listener is someone that is controlled by the fears in their life. And they become, it's not that they don't hear, they don't have fruit because of the fears that are in their heart. The other part that Jesus talks about in here is the deceitfulness of wealth. To begin to place the confidence in the wealth rather than the God who provides the wealth. And this is sneaky at times. We'll have a major need in our life and we'll pray, God, please supply that need. And He does. I remember specifically when Kathy and I were praying about, she had taught for 1 year and we wanted, when we went, this is 100 years ago, we were back in seminary the first time. And we literally did not have the money for her to go to school, barely had the money for me to go to school. And so we prayed, God, you know, this is, we really feel like Kathy wants to study and this is what we need to do. And someone out of the clear blue, literally, who had been a member of a past, of a church that Kathy had, of a past, anyway, this pastor, a member, somehow down the line called. She had heard from this pastor that we were in seminary and in Sherman, Texas at the time. She called every Baptist church in Sherman, Texas till she found us. Came over, showed, says, God's told me to do this, here's a check, and drove off. I mean, it was just scary. The money was for the exact amount of what the tuition would have been for the next semester. And God provided it until we literally went for the mission field. God provides. The temptation, the subtleness of it, is that we begin to look for the checks and not the Savior. Lord, where's the check? I want that check. I don't see anything green in my billfold. Except mold. Okay? Sometimes overactivity can choke out and take the fruit away. Then there's the fourth listener that falls on the good ground, someone that hears the word, understands it. This is the produces a crop of 100, 60, 30. The word hear here is similar to, in the Hebrew, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, the great Shema. The idea is not that it's heard only, but it's heard with the intent of obeying. It's hearing with action that follows. Someone that hears, understands, and applies what they've heard. Don't get all wound up with the 60 and the 100 and the numbers. Remember the parable of the talents, the master gives 10 to 1 and 5 to the other and 1 to 1. The blessing that the master gave to the 10, who multiplied the 10, was the same as the blessing that the one that had multiplied the 5. Literally, it said, well done, my good and faithful servant. Powerful stuff. Now, that's the parable and that's the explanation. And there's a little voice on my shoulder that's saying, so what? So what? So what? The question for us this morning is, what kind of listener are we? Okay, I'm not asking if you're saved or lost. I'm asking, what kind of listener are you? Are you a distracted listener? You could be reading the Word in the morning during devotional, phone rings, kids come in, something happens, poof, and we're gone, okay? We're distracted. When I'm watching TV and Kathy wants to talk to me, I'm not proud of this, but if she really wants my attention and I'm going to actually hear what's coming out of her mouth, I have to put the silly thing on mute or turn it off. Look her in the eyeballs. Why? Because I get distracted. And sometimes God wants to turn off the TV and the distractions around us and say, I am speaking to you. Knock, knock. Are you home? Distracted hearers. The next kind of listener is a rocky listener. The rocky listener starts out strong. They may be really active 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month or two, and then water hits the fan, is the expression. They get discouraged, they get offended, and what? They're no longer there. They don't allow the difficulty to transform them into what God wants them. They think difficulty is the exception in the Christian life. The problem is difficulty is the norm. It's not until I'm sick that I understand Jesus is my healer. It's not until I am really lonely that I see Jesus as my friend. It's not until I am confused that I understand Jesus is my rock and my shelter. Difficulties are the school that God enrolls us in to learn His nature and character. Hear me. Difficulties are the school that we are enrolled in to learn the very nature and character of God. And sometimes we just check out of school early. We just quit. And we never learn what God intends for us to learn. We're rocky listeners. My father has been in heaven now for about 6-7 years. And he told me something when I was, I'd say little, because I've always been little, you know. He told me once that I should, well, I won't say that. Anyway, I was always real small, short. And if you, playing basketball was not even a dream, okay? I was not much, I wear size 12 shoes, okay? It looks more like Ronald McDonald in a clown suit. It just, coordination is not my spiritual gift. And anyway, but Dad told me, says, son, I really don't care how many times you fall down. Just get up one more time than you fall. And I remembered that. It's helped greatly. Paul said it this way in Philippians 1:6. Remember this? It's coming back to haunt. It's what, that he who began a good work in you, he will carry it on until its completion, until the day of Christ Jesus. Who carries it on? He does. We just stay in line with him. He will carry it on to completion if we don't give up. We don't give up. The next is the fearful and deceived learner, the listener. The what? Yeah. Let's look into this. There's a lack of trust. It may have happened because of traumatic event in early in life. And we get to certain situations and we just freak out. Or we over-respond. Have you ever, something happens, kid drops a plate and you just absolutely blow up? Well, it's not that plate. The plate maybe cost $2, okay? It's not that one instance. It's something way back somewhere else that we put a lid on and we've never dealt with. It's a fear or a hurt that we have locked down that we will not face. The question we need to ask is, why do I feel this way? Why am I? It should be a red flag to say, why did I respond like that when really it wasn't that big a deal? It's not like a kid running across the street and you grab him to save his life. I mean, okay? Until we are willing to go there, that's going to be an issue. One other thing that helps me is when we come across some of these things that we're really fearful about, we go back to square one. Now, at least this is something, I don't know where it came from. I was doing some Bible study and this helped me, okay? Square one, the first little corner of the square, God is in control. Things that I go back to square one. God is in control. Secondly, God loves me and has a plan for my life. Thirdly, I can trust God. Fourthly, I will obey, I will respond in obedience to what God desires. Would you say those four things with me out loud? God is in control. Say that. God is in control. Secondly, God loves me. God loves me and has a plan for my life. Thirdly, I can trust God. Lastly, I will respond in obedience to what God desires. When those things come that just overwhelm us in fear, go back to square one. God is in control. God loves me. God has a plan for my life. I can trust God. I will respond in obedience. The fearful and deceived listener sometimes compartmentalizes his life. They have the church box. Then we have school or work. We have home. And then we have our own personal little box over here. And even if we learn a great truth in God's Word, we have neatly tucked it away in the church box. And it never has a chance to infiltrate and affect how we respond at school, at work, at home, our own personal life. Then there's the good soil, the good listener, someone that understands and applies what's listening or what's been heard. The question is, what kind of listener are we? We need to learn to focus, not get distracted. We don't need to be a rocky listener and just give up when things get tough. We don't need to be a thorny listener and live by fear and deceit. God is enough. We can trust Him. We can be fruitful listeners, those that hear, understand, and apply what God desires. In these weeks and the weeks to come, God is going to reveal some things about families that He wants all of us to know about loving our wives. What's it going to take to do that? About respecting our husbands, about not disciplining our children in anger. That was always a rough one for me. Or obeying our parents, or about forgiving. Really, forgiveness is not about whether the person deserves or not. We didn't deserve it. God forgave us. Forgiveness is giving back to God that hurt and the vengeance we want to take out on that person and allowing, as the Scripture says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And just give that over to God. God's Word is our measure of truth. And only He can bring the joy we really need and want as we learn to obey. The whole question here is we have a choice. Are we going to be a distracted listener? Are we going to allow Satan to take what we hear and rapidly just carry it away so we'd even have a chance to think about it? Or are we just going to give up when we hear something? Are we going to live by fear or by faith? Are we going to allow God to transform our thoughts and our character so it becomes more like Christ? We have a choice. And the choice we make every time we walk in this building, every time we wake up in the morning, we will choose what kind of listener we're going to be. Researchers did an interesting experiment where they took, it was a large tank of fish, and they put these little fish that were their favorite food. But they put a glass pane in between the food and the predator. And they just left it. What do you think happened? The predator sees his food. Whop. Well, they hit the glass. Well, that happened a few times. Finally, they get up kind of close to where they thought the glass was, and they maybe bump it and go off. After a while, they get and just kind of circle by it. Then after a while, they don't even try. At that point, the researchers can take the glass out of the tank, and those fish will die of starvation with their favorite food swimming all around. Why? Because somewhere down the line, they thought they just couldn't do it anymore. And so many times we come to church and it's just not happening. And just like those fish, we give up. It's too hard. Can't do it. Philippians 1:6 tells us that he who began that good work in us, he is the one that will carry it on to completion. We can trust God. Whatever he is speaking, whatever he is saying, we can trust God to bring those changes about in our life if we'll let him. But there is a choice. There is a choice.